Good evening. We are in 1 Timothy, and we're ready for chapter 3. And I want to say that I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and it probably would be better in the King James or New, and I will admit that. However, I've taught this before, and my NIV here is so full of notes that I didn't want to transfer any of them. So since I had all my notes in my Bible already, I'm going to go out of the NIV, and I'll try to keep it in line with King James or New King James also as we go through here. And another thing to keep in mind is Paul, he's going to address this toward the end of the chapter 2, but he's not sure when he's going to get to see Timothy face to face. So he's writing this letter to Timothy to tell Timothy what to do and what to teach and to be able to see if the church is doing at Ephesus there is doing what they're supposed to do. So keep that in mind as we're going through this, because I think it helps maybe get things into perspective. So we're ready to start chapter 3. And I'll read the first 7 verses. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, now the King James says bishop, he desires a noble task. And it's a good thing. King James says good thing. Now an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert. Is that the King James says novice, correct? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not follow into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So here's qualifications for an elder. And bishop is from the Greek episkopos, and it translates directly into English as overseer. And that's what my NIV calls, says overseer here. So it's a bishop or an elder is one who watches over the flock. And he says, and it's interesting, he says, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer. And the gist of that is that it's a good work, a noble task. Noble means excellent. It refers to excellence or high quality. My version says noble task. I think the King James says good work. But the eldership is, the gist of this is that it's a good work. And if a man seeks it, he's seeking a good work. Now, what's your opinion here? Is if a man's qualified and the congregation thinks he should be an elder, is he wrong in turning it down? You know, we're told to serve if we have the ability. Could depend on why he's turning it down. Yes. There's a lot of commentary on that about the desiring of it. If he doesn't desire it, well, it's happened. If he doesn't desire it, it's not my opinion from what I've read in the commentary said, it's not my opinion that he would be sinning if he turned it down. However, Ryan's got a good point. It depends on the reasons. You know, if he's, and like, for instance, if he's got something to hide, well, that should come out, you know, because they need to, it talks about the deacons being tested. Well, the elders are tested too. You know, we'll get down to that here in a minute. But I don't, it's not my opinion that if a man doesn't desire to be an elder, that he would be sinning if he turned it down. I think there would be less of a chance he would do it effectively if he didn't want it. And, the key word here is if anyone sets his heart on it. So, questions, comments, disagreements, bring them on. No? You guys are too easy. Go ahead.
just to comment, obvious thing, but I like that they interject that the first word is the good of the church.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That the comments made that the desire should be for the good of the church and not for selfish reasons. And that's right on the money there. That's exactly right. Good comment there. Okay. Are there people outside? Are there people out in their cars? Okay. For the people out in their cars, Ryan said, if a man turns it down just because he doesn't want to do the work, that would not be correct to do so. So that's a good point also. Okay. Anything else? We're coming there. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jamie mentioned a man who turned it down because he didn't feel he was ready, and then 5 years later they had election of officers again and he accepted it because he felt he was ready. So there's a good point too. Okay, good question, good comments. Anything else? Okay, he desires a good work, a noble task. It says he must be above reproach. Is that where the King James says blameless? Okay, that word it's from a Greek word, and it is referred to as this. It's when no one can make any specific accusation against his character or conduct. Okay, so that's what above reproach here, blameless, is. No man can make an exact a complaint against his character or conduct. So that's above reproach. The husband of, now keep in mind here too that the tense of the verse is be, present tense. And it's at the time he was an elder. One of the commentaries I believe said at the time of his appointment, which I agree with also, but I think the way I read this, I think it's at the time he's an elder. Okay. Because I can't right off the top of my head. Well, I know some elders who have stepped down. I think it refers to the tense of the verse refers to the time that he is an elder, not just the time of his appointment. I think it also refers to while he is an elder. And, it's but one wife. The husband, he must be the husband of one wife. The direct translation from the Greek, of that Greek, is a one-woman man. I think the man who is an elder needs to be married. And this was actually addressing polygamy in the church. Because there was polygamy in the early church. They had Judaizing teachers who were teaching that it was okay because it was okay in the Old Testament. They were wanting Old Testament concepts to come into the church. If you read anything, a lot of the commentary on this verse, it was addressing polygamy in the church. But I think at the time that a man is an elder, I don't think a single man could be appointed as an elder, an unmarried man. It doesn't say have been. It doesn't say he must be or have been the husband of one wife. It says he must be the husband of one wife. Okay, am I clear on that? Does anybody agree, disagree? I would be totally against appointing a divorced man as an elder for any reason, whether it was scriptural or not. Okay, for those out in the cars, the comment was, what about a man who is scripturally divorced? And my answer is I would be against appointing any man who had been divorced for whatever reason. And I think the man should be married, and he should be married, to the one woman he married to start with. Unless, in the case of the death of a wife, okay, that probably would be okay. But I would be against appointing a divorced man as an elder for whatever reason. Okay, questions, comments? If you disagree, bring it up. You might change my thinking. I've changed my thinking before. Okay, the husband of one wife, and then it says, is this where the King James says vigilant? Right after the husband of one wife, it says vigilant. Temperate? Does yours say vigilant in there anywhere? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mine says temperate and self-controlled. Your next word after that is sober, right? Vigilant and sober. Okay, sober means self-controlled or temperate. Mine skips vigilant. But I think vigilant, it's very important there for an elder to be of the type of person who would be vigilant. An elder needs to be the type of person who is willing to watch over the spiritual purity of the congregation. And that's what that means. Watchful. Vigilant means watchful. An elder is supposed to watch for the spiritual condition of the congregation. And that's why I like, in this particular instance, I like the King James better than my NIV. My NIV leaves that out. And then the next is sober, which means temperate or self-controlled. One of the things mentioned is not wildly swinging from one opinion to the other. Mine says temperate and then self-controlled means the same thing. Temperate means self-controlled. Respectable, we know what respectable means, having the respect of people. Hospitable, I remember one time, the guy from the Philippines, Roger Wanasan, and one of the evangelists was here. Oh, this getting old. This getting old is not fun. Lewis Garvey and Roger Wanasan were here, and they didn't have a place to stay. So I just said, come on, you can stay with us. And I really enjoyed their visit. In fact, the next morning, their plane was delayed. And so they stayed with us a good part of the day too. And I remember thinking, boy, that was a good thing to do, because they were really interesting to talk to. And we had a good time there. So an elder should be hospitable, apt to teach. Means an elder should know enough about scripture to be able to teach. Okay. And so in the third, we have not given to wine. Mine says not given to drunkenness. Can't be a drunk. That wouldn't work. And you notice when we go to the deacons, we're going to talk a little. There's a little difference there. This says not given to wine. Okay. Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. not combative, and not a lover of money. How does your King James word that? Not greedy and filthy, not covetous. Okay. King James says not covetous down there at the end of the third. Mine says not a lover of money. I think covetousness probably covers it better. That includes all things, not just money. Okay, in the fourth, let's do the fourth and fifth. He must manage his own family well. His children must obey him, because if he can't manage his own family, how can he manage the church? Okay, there's the opinion that the children should be believers, members of the church. I'm not sure that's necessary, but I think it'd be much better if that was the case. But the idea here is getting people to getting the obedience. You know, it says here, his children obey him with proper respect. If you can't manage your own family, how can you manage the church? So I think the concept here is obedient children. Children who are not, I think one of the commentaries or somewhere in another verse, it says riotous. Can't be accused of riotous behavior. That might be in Titus. So the children need to be obedient. And an elder needs to have obedient children. And some, there are those who say that this verse means they all need to be members of the church. That would be better if they were. I'm not sure that that's what this means, though. Okay, so you got to be able to manage the church. You got to be able to manage your family first, manage the church, and that should be looked at, you know, before you appoint an elder. Anything else? Anything? Comment on that? Questions? No? Okay. He must not be a novice, a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the trap of the devil. It would be too rapid of a rise. That was the gist of it. And he might come to think he's more important than he is if he is appointed an elder too soon. He might look at it and say, boy, I must be pretty good if I'm an elder this fast. And we all know that what was the sin of the devil? Pride. It was pride in it. I wrote down a couple of verses here if I could find them. I talked at Revelation 12 and 7, war in heaven. Luke 10 and 18, the devil was cast out. And, it was the sin of pride. Thought he was more important than he was and tried to get the power from God. So he was cast out. And that's, it says must, and he, so he won't fall under the same judgment as the devil. And that's what it's referring to here. Verse 7, he must have a good reputation with outsiders. How would you know that? When Rick Sparks appointed elders, I remember when he appointed me, he went out and talked to my neighbors. And I didn't know he'd done that. But I thought that was exactly fulfilling this verse here. Because you can find out probably a lot more about people if you talk to their neighbors. Well, he must have. He must have, I guess. But he did the same thing with Mark and Marty also, because we talked about it. I thought that was very good. I was really impressed that he did that. That's correct. The point was made that a lot of people don't know their neighbors anymore, and that's very correct. Teresa says the Bradys are related to theirs. Yeah, I have neighbors that I don't know very well. So that is the case. I found that to be more the case in the city than in small town. You know. Okay, but I was impressed. I remember being very impressed when Rick told me he had talked to my neighbors. He had gone out and knocked on doors and talked to my neighbors. I thought that was very good. Okay, we are down through 7. Let me see if I forgot something. Oh, verses 4 and 5, refers to the fact that an elder should have children. Okay, that was a point brought out, that he should have children, at least one. And even though the word children is used, it was talked about Sarah, and it said, should she nurse, who would have thought she would have nursed children when she only had one? So, and it, another one was brought out about women and children first, even though, like when a boat's going down, they say women and children first, even though they may have one child. So the reference to children does not necessarily mean more than one, but it means at least one. So an elder should have children. Otherwise, you're not going to know how he manages his household. So that was specifically brought out in a couple of the commentaries. Okay, any questions, comments? Down through verse 7. Okay, now we're going to go to deacons, and we're going to go down through verse 13, starting in verse 8. Deacons likewise, okay, also, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. And the King James uses the word mysteries there, correct? They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, deacon is from diakonos, and it means servant. And Thayer writes, one who, by the virtue of the office assigned to him by the church, by virtue of the office assigned to him by the church, cares for the poor and has charge of and distributes them and distributes money collected for their use. So that's Thayer. That's his comment on a deacon. And, there was commentary made about the fact that all members of the church are servants. And the distinction is by the virtue of the office assigned to him by the church. So even though we're all servants, a deacon is an office assigned by the church. We have three offices in the church: evangelists, deacons, and elders. So in this particular case, it's pointed out that a deacon is an office assigned by the church. And if you remember when the deacons were appointed, it said that talked about serving tables. It said, should we leave the, I can't remember for sure how it's worded, but it said, should we leave spreading the word so that we must serve tables? And so they appointed deacons to do that. And not only talked about the money, handling the money, it talked about serving the Lord's table also. So that was part of the definition of a deacon. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience, the mysteries of the faith. That's the gospel. That's the word of God. They must adhere to that as well as they can. so they can do it with a good feeling, with a clear conscience. So a deacon is to serve as and serve the church as closely as he can to adhere to the word of God so that he can do it with a clear conscience. So they can he can do it with the feeling that everything is okay. And that's verse that's verse 9. Any comments on that? Questions? Okay, in 10, they must first be tested. I suppose, I don't remember for sure if Rick went out, and I'm sure he did probably, talk to the deacon's neighbors. But just as elders have to be tested to see if they're fit for the job, so have deacons. And if there is nothing against them, you know, if they're of good report, if people can't bring an accusation against them, probably the same criteria as an elder, then they should be appointed. Let them serve as deacons. Okay, down. Okay. Joyce says their co-workers would be a good word person to check with. Yeah. If you know who they are and can get a hold of them. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, any other comments? Questions? Okay, then it talks about the deacon's wives. Worthy of respect. Okay. Worthy of respect. That means they're of such character and have such a nature that people have respect for them. Not malicious talkers. Does the King James talk about slander there? Not slanders, malicious talkers. Okay, what's the key concept of slander? It has to be false. That's exactly right. Slander is something that's false. If you slander somebody, you're trying to damage their reputation, but you're also saying something that's false. So deacons' wives can't be slanders. They must be temperate. That's self-controlled. And trustworthy in everything. And it would only follow that that's also true of an elder's wife, I would think. I couldn't find anything as to why wives were talked about with deacons more than the elders. But I would think that the same qualifications should also be with the elder's wife. Okay. No, any comment? No comments, questions, anything? You people are awfully easy. Okay. He must also be the husband of one wife and manage his children well, just same qualifications as an elder. The 13th is an interesting verse. It says, those who have served well gain an excellent understanding and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? If a deacon, he says, is it a deacon who serves well gains an understanding and assurance of their faith in Jesus Christ. So if a deacon serves well in his deaconship, he can have a good feeling that things are going okay. I think that's what that means there. A deacon who is doing his job well and serving the church well should have a good feeling that everything is right. Okay? Agree? Disagree? Comments? Go ahead, Steve. Okay, Steve asked if the deacons and eldership was set up so that if a deacon passes away, or was if they needed a deacon, that the elders would be in line. If the church needed an elder, the deacons would be in line for that. That helps. Being a deacon helps with being an elder, but it's not a requirement. Anybody can be an elder if they're qualified. Anybody can be a deacon if they're qualified. But I certainly think I was a deacon for I don't know how many years before I was an elder, and I think it helped me quite a bit. I don't know if anybody ever thinks they're qualified or capable when they go into an office. But as I look back on it, I think being a deacon helped me. But there are people who are very knowledgeable in the scripture, you know, very respected by congregations who have never been deacons. Mark was not a deacon, and he's an elder. So that's not a qualification, but it does help. Okay, comments on that? Questions? Yeah, the other, but I think by the time Rick would get involved, Joyce said we could go to the other people in the church to check on somebody's reputation. By the time an evangelist is involved in appointing that, I think that probably is already done. I think probably people have already, if the congregation has brought this person's name up to be a deacon or an elder, they probably know his reputation's okay. As far as the congregation can tell. But then the evangelist can take it out, take it another step by going and talking to their neighbors or their coworkers if they can find them. But I don't think, person's name would be brought up by the congregation to be an elder or deacon if their reputation was in question. And one of the things mentioned was about falling back in your old ways. That was another thing. I'm back in verse 7, he must have a good reputation with outsiders. And then it says, so he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. One of the things they want that would want to be known here is if this person had been doing something he shouldn't have been doing in the past, even though he might not have been doing it at the time. And that way it says so that he will not fall into disgrace. That means he won't fall into that kind of behavior again. Okay, so if they talk to a neighbor and a neighbor says, well, that guy used to be in the bars every night. Well, maybe he hadn't been for 10 years, but there's a chance he might do it again. He might fall into those old ways. And that's what this is referring to. So the reputation needs to be good at the start. Better not have old habits that might be falling back into later on. Okay? I should have brought that up in 7 when we went through there. And I skipped it. That's a good point too. Okay, we're down through 13. Let's go to the end of the chapter. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. Your King James says without controversy, correct? Mine says with beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. Okay, Jesus Christ. It says the pillar and foundation, the pillar support is a supporting structure, and it has to have a good foundation. So that's what it's talking about, how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church And the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Okay, so the church is the support, the upholding of the truth. And the mystery of godliness, once again, the mystery of godliness, the scriptures. How to live a Christian life. You know, we talk about it, we read about it, we go over it and over it, and we learn something every time. So, how to live a godly life. We know that Christ appeared as a man, vindicated by the Spirit. That's a lot of verses if I wrote them down. It says he was vindicated by the Spirit. I guess I didn't write those verses down. It's the Holy Spirit authenticated him several times. He was seen by angels, preached among the nations. I think the King James there says Gentiles, right? Preached among the Gentiles. The Jewish law was not preached among the Gentiles, but the church, the gospel is to everyone. The gospel is available to everyone. And that's what the reference here is. Believed on in the world as a whole, you know, that he was believed and taken up in glory. So he was resurrected by the Holy Spirit, and he is now in heaven. Okay, I think I've got it. Are there any questions, comments? I think that'll take care of the third chapter, and we will be ready for the fourth chapter next time. Thank you for your comments. They're always appreciated.